on the line with us right now. Talk some 76ers basketball. Tom Moore joins us. Tom, how's it going, man?
All right, how's everybody doing?
Everyone's great. You got Allen Studio, you got Rhea, Marshall, me, of course. Tom, Furkan Korkmaz signs the deal to officially come over with the 76ers. Is this an overblown thing, or are you as optimistic as some other people in the Twitter sphere?
I think I might not be as optimistic short term. I think this is kind of going to be more of a developmental year for him, Mark, with, you know, seven guards under contract this year, not counting Ben Simmons, who is going to be a point guard on offense, but is really a forward, or however you want to count him. There's seven other guards. So I think they want to have him here and eating right, lifting weights, sports science, all that stuff. I think they think he can develop more here. So I wouldn't be surprised. You know, he spends time with the Sixers, but if he also plays some in the what used to be known as the D League, but it's now the G League with Gatorade taking over. But, I mean, I think he's got, you know, he's long and lean, and he's a 2-3, and he shot the ball well, you know, overseas. But I think it's going to take some time for him. But I think long-term, I think he's a guy that could, you know, who could really help them.
So you don't see him being a guy on the roster really this year?
Well, he's going to have to be on the roster, Mark. They have 15 spots, and as a first-round
pick. Oh, that's right, expanded, yeah.
He can't be one of those two-way players that spends time in the G League and here. As a first-round pick, you have to, if you sign, you have to stay here. So he could play there, but he would still be getting paid at the NBA level and still count toward the 15, you know, 15 guys on the regular roster.
So J.J. Redick signs with the 76ers, $23 million for 1 year. How much does that change, if at all, Brett Brown's plan to have, you know, have Ben Simmons as your point guard, not point forward or anything? How much does that change his plans, if at all?
Yeah, it's hard to say, Mark, because, you know, you would think there's a decent chance you start Fultz, Redick, and Simmons, and Fultz is a, you know, a point guard who can also play off the ball, and obviously Redick is a shooter and a shooting guard. So, I mean, you could have either one of them initiate the offense. We don't know. I don't think Brett really knows how it's going to work out. I mean, this hasn't happened. It was kind of something he came up with as Simmons was missing his entire rookie season with that fractured foot. So I don't think Brett knows exactly what's going to happen. His plan is to have him play point guard on offense and then defend whoever covers him, which Brett thinks will be a lot of, like, small forwards. So, I mean, that kind of remains to be seen, and how will it go? Maybe he will end up being a point forward or however you want to term him. Maybe Fultz will initiate the offense as much or more than Simmons will eventually, but I don't think at this point anybody really knows. People have ideas, but until we get into the preseason in October and then later in October, the start of the regular season, there's really no way to know.
Tom, how do you come up with a hard and fast thing like Brett has on a guy who's been injured the whole year?
Rhea, I think a lot of it was, you know, Brett said to us is like they would watch or they would look at tape or watch what was going on, and he would sort of say to Ben, what would you do? How would you handle this? And he threw some things at him, and I guess he sort of liked what he heard, and he realizes that, you know, he does like to have the basketball in his hands and like to initiate things. So I think that's the idea that he came up with, and the more he thought of it and the more time he had to be around Simmons during the course of the season, he thought it was more viable till toward the end of the season when he told us, yes, you know, we plan on making him or at least trying him as the point guard on offense. And he has said he doesn't know if it's going to work, but he thinks he really needs to try. At least that's the plan at this point. Now, we haven't talked to Brett since the Redick signing. So, I mean, it's possible that could change somewhat. But I don't think everything's in pencil here, Rhea. I don't think it's necessarily in permanent ink.
A lot of people, Tom, have been talking about this lineup and the whole Ben Simmons point guard, whatever. Brian Colangelo has been pretty clear in saying, you know, whatever you want to call him, he's going to be running the offense. I'm looking at it as more like a Draymond Green situation in terms of him initiating the offense. You know, Draymond Green led the Warriors in assists the last 2 years. Ben Simmons, to me, is going to be that guy at the top of the key initiating the offense. But he's going to have shooters around him, Joel Embiid in the middle. How is it not going to be Covington alongside Redick, alongside Fultz, with him initiating the offense? How is anybody seeing it that that's not going to be the case? I'm confused as to why people are thinking Dario Saric is going to be out there with the starting five.
Yeah, Marshall, I was trying to figure out what it was like too, and then the people on Twitter were just universal almost that had to be the starting group. But, I mean, you're probably right. I mean, if Simmons gets a rebound, he's not going to necessarily look for Fultz to run the fast break. He's going to take it himself, have his head up looking, and if a guy's open, gets him the ball. And that's the way he's always played, even though he was primarily a power forward during his 1 year at LSU. So I think that that's going to be the case. Even now in the summer league, you know, Fultz is off the ball technically with Larry Drew the second starting, but obviously he still initiates the offense. So, and you're right, Brian Colangelo is very much into not positional basketball, and you know, we have guys who can initiate, whether you call him point forward, point whatever, or point center, as he noted. That's, you know, that's kind of how they look at it. So I would think so, and I think for Sarge, I think that's a really good role for him, being the kind of the main scorer on the second unit, playing against other teams' second units. I think that could work out really well. And whether Amir Johnson's the backup center or whatever, you know, whatever his role is too. I mean, there's a lot of people, and not everybody's going to be able to play. You can't play six guards, maybe four. So out of those 15, you know, maybe 10 can play fairly regularly, but that's about it. You get deeper than 10, it gets tough.
Tom, it's funny you mentioned backup center, because all I really want to know is what's going on with Jahlil Okafor. What is going on? Is he getting moved? Is he not getting moved? The roster spots seem to be filling up pretty quickly. I'm counting. I see more guys than can play. And what is going on with Jahlil Okafor?
Well, here's the thing, Marshall, and I think you know this too. If you're looking to get what you perceive as the value for the third pick two years and a month ago, you're probably not going to be able to make a deal, and I think that's part of the problem. If you want to move him, which would be best for the Sixers and best for Okafor, you probably have to take 55 cents on the dollar or whatever the number is. Will Brian Colangelo eventually do that? You know, I don't know. I mean, they do have 15 guys. Assuming the options are picked up on McConnell and Holmes, which I think are pretty fair to assume, you have 15 guys now. That's your roster, 15 guys with guaranteed contracts, counting Okafor. But it would be nice if he's not going to play, whether Amir Johnson's the backup center and or Rashawn Holmes, there's a decent chance that he's not in the rotation to start the season. I mean, unless, heaven forbid, you know, Embiid's hurt. So I think it would be best, and I think obviously what you were offered 13 months ago is a heck of a lot more than what was being offered, you know, at the draft a couple weeks ago. So I don't know. I mean, if the mindset doesn't change and you're not willing to take less than what you're being offered, there's certainly a chance that he's still on the roster to start the season in mid-late October.
We're talking to Tom Moore, Calkins Media. Tom, we watched Markelle Fultz's first impressions as a pro. Monday night takes on the Celtics. It looked pretty good to me. Some Celtics beat writers not too impressed. What was your impression?
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, Mark, because we got to see the end of the scrimmaging Saturday at rookie camp, and he was going 100 miles an hour, spinning and going behind his back and getting up in the air. And I thought, wow, his debut and, you know, his NBA debut and against the team that traded the pick that could have drafted him, I thought he was just going to be, you know, going crazy and too fast and seven turnovers or whatever. He had four turnovers, but I thought he was much more under control than I expected, which, you know, as a 19-year-old kid, your dream playing in an NBA game, albeit the summer league for the first time, is a big, big deal. So, yeah, I thought, and defensively, he does have issues sometimes staying in front of guys, but he's very good at recovering and blocking shots. He averaged more than a block shot last year, which is unusual for a point guard. And had three the other night. So, yeah, I mean, I was impressed. I thought it was better than I expected, just because he was calmer and more in control, which at 19, you know, to me is pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And there was another guy that kind of stuck out to me when I was watching this game, and that was the Jonah Bolden. I mean, very aggressive on defense, which wasn't his forte, and also a guy that could shoot a little bit from beyond the arc.
Yeah, I mean, he really, really wants to come here, and you know, defensively, you know, you can switch with him and he can cover whoever when you switch off. He's very versatile. He's very active. He just makes things happen out there. He's got good size. You know, it'd probably be best for the Sixers if he went and spent another year over in the Adriatic League and maybe next year, you know, made the roster, just because they're so full. And even if he came here this year, minutes probably would be tough, with the rotation and the guys that you have right now. But he's definitely a guy that I would think fits in their future, and, you know, probably, possibly slash probably as soon as next year.
Yeah, and I just, again, he was one of the guys that really impressed me. But get back to Fultz. What do you make of the Sixers saying that he's not going to play in all three games in Utah? He's going to play, for instance, he'll play tonight and then most likely not play the next game. What do you make of that?
They did the same thing with Simmons last year, if you remember, Mark.
Yeah, I think Simmons had
that work out.
Well, no, I meant in the summer league. Yeah, sorry, that's
what it's all him.
But what Simmons had, what, cramps or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, look, generally that January 27th game against the Rockets, notwithstanding when Embiid talked his way into playing, generally they take a cautious approach. And they'll have a day off Friday, and then I believe they start in Vegas on Saturday. So I think they want him to play, but they don't, you know, they're just being overly Sixer-like in terms of, you know, there's no issues that he have that we're aware of physically or anything like that. They're just kind of taking it easy. And also, too, you have too many guys. You can really only play nine guys in these summer league games. Maybe they have so many point guards, it wouldn't be a bad thing to take a look at some of these other guys and see if possibly they may be somebody worthy of a two-way contract that could spend most of the year in the G League and be up with the Sixers up to 45 days.
I really
could be sort of a combination of reasons.
Yeah, Tom, I hope that doesn't become a coined phrase when doctors can't do their job right. Sixer-like, for instance. I hope that doesn't become the new phrase.
Tom, I got
to ask.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to ask you about Brett Brown because this is the first season where we're coming into the year with real expectations, per se. Do you think, given what's happened with the rest of the East leading up to this point and given who's going to be on his roster, that the expectations are changing from a front office standpoint to where he finds himself squarely on the hot seat from day one? How do you view Brett Brown's position right now with the Sixers?
Yeah, Marshall, I think it's, you know, obviously they're more of a viable, team in terms of success-wise, given adding two veterans and including a guy who's one of the best three-point shooters in the league, which they crave to space the floor and make it so that everybody isn't just packing the paint, you know, against them. But I don't know that Brian Colangelo is thinking playoffs necessarily, but I think the big thing is wherever they are in October, he wants to see, you know, progression, cohesion, and this core group figuring out what works with these guys, what kind of players or what specific players work, more so than we have to win 40 games and be competing for that eighth spot or this is not a successful season, Marshall.
Tom Moore, Calkins Media, thanks so much for joining us there, Tom. We appreciate it, man.